While you're turning, I was thinking as I was listening to the song, I read a story once, and it's a true story, I think, from what I understood, that three men were in a boat on the close to Niagara Falls on the river. They were floating down through there, and two of them were Christians, and the other one was an infidel, someone who claimed they didn't believe in God. And they'd been talking to him for some time, and he'd been rebuking them because of their faith. And they floated on down through there, and then they got close to the falls and got being swept up. And they were fearful they were fixing to go over the falls if they couldn't get out to the shore. And the infidel began to cry out to God to save them. And basically, the point I want to make is there is a light at the river for those who are saved. Believing there's no God is fine as long as you're floating down the river. But when you're fixing to go over the falls, you need God. And every one of us sooner or later is going to go over the falls. We just don't know when. This morning I want to preach, and I want to bear my thought upon our country. I won't be here next week in Memorial Day as we celebrate the past, the present, fallen soldiers, thanking them for the freedoms that we have. And thanking God for a country that has freedoms. But I also want us to think about a couple of things as we get into this. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read a little bit more than I normally read to lay a little groundwork. And I'll try not to preach as long as I usually preach. But begin reading, if you would, in chapter 4 of Daniel. And by the way, Daniel presents and gives us it's a book of prophecy. It lets us know God's plan for the Gentiles and how that there is a time of the Gentiles. Four dominant world dominions will take place before God establishes Israel once again as a prominent nation during the reign of Christ. These things will take place, and at the completion of the fourth, then that's when Christ will come back and establish his kingdom. Now, in studying prophecy, it's pretty easy to see. Daniel is clear in pronouncing these four prominent world empires. We have already seen all four of them pass through. The last one, Daniel tells us, will be revived. Babylon was the first one under Nebuchadnezzar. Babylonian system that the Bible speaks of is a system that is anti-God and anti-Christ. The Bible speaks of the last system coming back as having the Babylonian system in it, where the prominent religion of the country at that time, Brother Junior was talking about Catholicism this morning, the prominent religion will be one in which people will worship the mother of the sun. That's what happened in Babylon. And it was prominent, and they would go to the mother to try to get through to God for the sun. And so we see the rise of the Babylonian system now, but from the Babylons was going to be the Medes and the Persians. And God predicted that they would be the second one. And we're going to read of the handing over in this portion of scripture we're going to read today of these two empires. Then the third one was going to be a guy by the name of Alexander the Great was going to come along with Greece. And he was going to conquer. And Daniel described how he would move as a leopard and he would go through. And sure enough, he did. Then the Romans would pick it up from the Greeks. And the Romans were in world dominant power at the time when Jesus walked upon the earth. Their power subsided, but it would be coming back. It would be coming back as a 10-headed federation seeking a world empire. When you read these things, they all wanted to have a world empire under one head. Today, that's what the United Nations are about, is trying to get us all into one world power under one head. Not only that, but you also find that in each one of these, there was a denial of God. And in each one of these, then God come along and he embarrassed and frustrated the plans of some man or some kingdom or some thoughts that they thought they could control the plans of God. God's plans are already established in heaven. Nothing will change the course of the plan of God. And so you better be on board with him. Begin reading, if you would, in Daniel chapter number 4. Beginning in verse number 30, it says this. The king, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, the one who was the first one that ruled the whole world. Verse 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be the beast of the field. Thou shalt make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth the kingdom of men and giveth to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass like as the oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors, my lord, sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the king of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride is able to obey. Now get this a minute before I go further. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the whole world in Babylon, walked out one day and patted himself on the chest and said, look what I have accomplished. I have accomplished this by my own hands, by my own power. How great a person I am. And at the same time, the Bible says while the words were still in his mouth, God come to him and told him, I'm going to turn you into animal. For 7 years, seven times, for 7 years, you're going to walk on all fours. Your hair is going to grow out. Your fingernails are going to grow like claws. And you're going to eat grass for 7 years. And the dew is going to fall on your back. And sure enough, that's what happened. And then at the end of 7 years, God allowed him to be restored to the kingdom. And he had nothing but praise unto God. But the point I want you to get from this, and the point that Nebuchadnezzar got was when he was lifted up with pride, is this. No nation, no king, no kingdom is too great that God cannot destroy it anytime that he wants to destroy it. Now, God has already prophesied certain things of certain nations. We do not fully understand where America fits in the prophecy of the end times. I know some people says this and some people says that, but there are a lot of nations called by name that that's going to be in Pacific Alliance at Pacific places at Pacific times. America is not so. As we celebrate Memorial Day, you young people especially, that has not been around, and those of you who have been misinformed, needs to understand the greatness of our nation and the greatness of the freedoms that was granted to you and the privilege that you have to be born in this nation. Now, in doing so, I want to look back and begin reading in chapter 5 because I want to bring a truth out of this, if you don't mind, and I'll do it rapidly if you'll stay with me. Let's begin in chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a feast to thousands of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. Now, let me say this. Belshazzar was a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, okay? The guy who was turned into a beast. This was his grandson. Now, stay with me a minute. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine, they praised the gods of gold and of silver and brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and rolled over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and Chaldeans and soothsayers, and the king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, and they could not read the writing nor make known the king the interpretation thereof. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. And now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever, let not thy thoughts trouble thee, and let not thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel which art the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? And I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. Now I've heard of thee, that thou hast made interpretations and dissolved doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be a third ruler in kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive. whom he would he set up and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like a beast, and his dwelling was like the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and they appointed over it whomsoever he will. Now, verse 22 is where I want you to get. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Now, I want you to get that. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou, thy lords, and thy wives, thy concubines, they have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose all thy ways hast, thou hast not glorified. Then was a part of the hand sent from him, and this was writing written. And this is a writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is interpretation. Mene, God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in kingdom. And in that night, was Belshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Media took the kingdom, being about 62 years. Now, let me notice real quick. Stay with me real quickly. I want to cover a couple things real quickly. In my Bible, I wrote this out, outlining this chapter 5, verse 1, the ball. When Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar decided to have a great big feast and ball, and he was going to have this big party. Number 2, the gall. Belshazzar, he chose to take the vessels that came out of the temple of Solomon and the gold and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar brought whenever he destroyed and took Israel captive. And he took them in there. And so Belshazzar, during this night of his drunken party, he decided to bring all those vessels and drink out of them to just kind of throw in the face of the God of Israel the fact that he was going to have this party and he was going to drink the gall that Belshazzar had. Then if you look on in verse number 5, notice the wall. All of a sudden on the wall, on the plaster on the wall, a hand appeared and began to write. Then if you'll notice as well, verse 7, the call. All of a sudden, the party was over. Here they were drinking, having orgies and all these things that they were have during this time. He had thousands of his lords there, and they were having all this party and getting drunk and drinking of the vessels and making commitments to the gods of gold and silver and stone. And all of a sudden this hand appeared and the party was over. And all of a sudden the king sobered up. And he began to call all the soothsayers and astrologers, wanting to know what the interpretation was, and no one could give the interpretation. But yet the queen, she remembered Daniel. But if you'll notice, neither her nor Belshazzar understand who God really was. And by the way, can I say this? There's a whole lot of people in our nation today that calls upon God that doesn't even understand who God really is. And all the praise that they were giving was to Daniel, not to God. But Daniel set that straight when he came. And Belshazzar got Daniel and he brought him before him and he said, listen, I'm gonna give you all this stuff. I'm gonna make you third ruler. He said, you keep your stuff. You know why? Daniel knew he wasn't gonna last. And so Daniel interpreted, and what he said was, he said, oh, Belshazzar, God has weighed you. You've been found wanting. That night was his fall. He died and went to hell that night. Belshazzar's cup of iniquity was filled. God is merciful, he's graceful, but there's a time when he says enough is enough, and he ended up Belshazzar's run that night. Tonight, this morning, I want to give you four things real quickly, and I'm not going to spend time on it. But speaking of our country, in light of Memorial Day, in light of what we have done and what our country is to us and what we should think about the country and where the country is, I'm concerned with the country and have been for some time. First of all, you need to log this in your mind. When we began to forget what God has done. You see, if you notice, Daniel told Belshazzar, he said, I'm going to rehearse to you what happened to your grandfather. Now, I know the Bible calls him the father, but if you read the history, Nebuchadnezzar had a son, and his son was, and then his grandson was Belshazzar. That's why Belshazzar could only offer Daniel the third ruler in kingdom, because his father was still alive. And so therefore he could only offer him the third ruler instead of the second ruler. And so when he offered him that, but he went through and he rehearsed what God had done to Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather. How he took this great king, this mighty king that was able to conquer the world, and he made him into an animal, and he taught him that when he put his pride up against Almighty God, the God of heaven, that he could bring him down anytime he wanted to. And when he brought him down, when he come back to his mind after 7 years, he praised the God of heaven. And so what he told Belshazzar was, he said, Belshazzar, you knew this. You should have remembered what God had done. Now here you are sitting here drinking out of these vessels and partying and acting as if nothing's going on. And what you need to do is there's a great danger when you begin to forget. Now let me say this too. I was listening to TV this week and somebody from Canada was criticizing the president. He was criticizing the country for electing him and so forth like that. Let me let Canada in on a little secret. Canada was founded by the French, and they discovered Canada and established Canada for gold. When you go south of us, Mexico was as well discovered by the Spaniards, and it was established for gold. America, and the reason why people are not dying and giving their life to come to Canada and come to Mexico, and giving their fortunes and giving everything up to come, and the history of this country, the reason why so many immigrants have desired to come into America is because the people who established America came here to find and be able to have the freedom to worship and serve God. And God blessed this nation. And all you have to do is pull out a coin to know that there's something in the history of this nation that we trusted in God at one time. We relied upon God. And we did not have to sit and deal with all these issues as stupid as you can't put a cross up over a veteran's grave, and you can't put a nativity scene up over here. You can't do this. Put the Ten Commandments over in the courthouse and all this foolishness. Because we have forgotten what God has done through this great nation and why this nation was made great. And when we begin to forget, there's a great danger to our country. This country is special. It is the greatest country in the whole world. And it's done so because it was established. And all these other religions coming in, and all these people, these great brains in Washington wanting to change our Constitution around. Listen, our forefathers didn't have any problem in understanding that the real true God, there was only one, and Jesus Christ was a Son of God, and they didn't have any trouble in understanding that was a God that this nation was established upon. Not Allah, not Muhammad, and not Confucius, not any of the others. Yes, if you want to come here and worship those, that's fine. But that was not what established the history of this nation. Amen. Just go back and read the real history. They have quit teaching history anymore because they cannot teach history without teaching how God's effect was upon it. And as a matter of fact, the Ten Commandments. Now, how brainy is this? We spent thousands of dollars defending the fact that to try to keep the Ten Commandments in our courthouse. And you know what? There was a group of guys that ruled that it was illegal, unconstitutional, to have the Ten Commandments posted on the courthouse wall. Because the courthouse was a public place. Now get this. About 10 or 12 years ago, I was in Washington, D.C. I went into the highest courthouse in the nation. And when I went into the highest courthouse of the nation that made this ruling, engraved in big double doors as I went into the Supreme Court was the Ten Commandments. Over the nine benches of the justices of this nation, over the chief judge, over his head, engraved in stone, was the Ten Commandments. And just because they rule that the Ten Commandments are unconstitutional, it's only because they didn't remember and understand the history of this nation. And when you begin to forget about the history, you put yourself in danger. And that's why this nation is in danger, because listen, as great, and see, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar was having a party that night because of the walls of Babylon. He knew the enemies was outside, but he didn't give one care about them, because those walls were so big, six chariots could ride around them. Nobody could come inside of them. And so therefore, he thought he was as safe as he could, so everybody just got drunk that night. Little he know that God can take down a nation as fast as he let one up. Babylon was born in a day. It was taken in a day. Because God is controller of that. And as America was founded and God's blessed America, God can bring America down just as fast as he brought her up. So there's a danger when we forget. Then when we begin to forget and remember, there's a danger of losing reality. The reality was, there was an army outside. Belshazzar knew that the army was outside. The Medes and Persians was outside the wall. He laughed them off. They had, I think I read where they had a 20-year supply of food inside the walls of Babylon. They grew their own gardens. They had a river going through there. They had a water supply. No one could penetrate through the walls. He was safe as he could be. But he forgot the reality. You see, if he had really read the Bible, he turned over to Isaiah chapter 45. God had told 200 years before this that he was going to send a man by the name of Cyrus. Cyrus was king of Persia. And the Medes and the Persians was going to come. He told exactly that night of exactly, if you want to read it, go to Isaiah 45. And he told exactly what was going to happen. What was going to happen was he's going to send the Medes and the Persians there. And that night while they were drunk, they were going to leave the brass gates open that blocked the river down there. And when they left them open, the Medes and Persians was going to reroute the river because it was a high. They were going to reroute it. And they're going to walk right in through those gates. God had said that 200 years before it ever happened. That night of this party, it happened. Just as God said it would. Now listen to me. Stay with me a minute. Now I'm not going to bear with you long. But there's a danger when you don't remember. Because when you don't remember, then there's a danger of losing the reality of what's real and what's not. And what we have is we've lost the reality that this nation is not supported by its great armies and by its money. This nation has been supported by God. That's the reality. Now, also look back, if you would, in your Bibles and notice that Belshazzar, when he had this party, not only did he forget that, but he also, when you begin to lose sight of the reality of what's going on, you also begin to lose restraint of the actions of your people. So what they did was, they had this big old orgy, had all these concubines and women and wine, brought these vessels in. They knew they wasn't supposed to mess with those vessels. They knew those vessels were sacred. But they decided to have this big party, and he decided to boast it up. And you see, what happens is, when a nation forgets, they lose the reality, and then they lose restraint. Who ever believed in our country that it would even be a question of men marrying men and women marrying women? Whoever believed we would ever get there? Whoever believed that anyone in their right mind would even question a little thing like a nativity scene sitting here, or a cross at a veteran's graveyard? Whoever thought? Or a t-shirt wore to school? Or a Bible verse? What happens is, we lost, when we lose remembrance, then we lose reality. Then we lose all restraint. And people start doing things that we never thought that would happen. Whoever believed that they'd be standing on our streets burning the flag?
Right.
Man, that burns me up. You don't get on the fighting side of me? You burn the flag in front of me. You say, well, I got a freedom to do it. Yes, but the people you need to understand, the people that gave you that freedom has died and fought for that flag. And it shows how little respect you have, because that's the last thing I want to point out. When you lose the restraint, you lose respect. And when you lose respect, you've lost respect for everything that matters. That's why people has lost in this country respect for their parents. That's why people lost respect for the church. Somebody broke down here yesterday, and I was trying to work on their car and help them. I went out to the bus to get the toolbox I'd bought. Somebody done stole it. Stole it out of the bus, stole it out of the van. It's a crying shame. Somebody asked me, said, why do you have bars on the back of your church? Because people kept breaking in here. They come in here, there's nothing in here. Nothing to amount to anything monetary-wise. And they come in here, sometimes just old red, muddy footprints. You know why? When this nation quit remembering where it came from, it began to lose all reality of what's truth. Then there's no restraint, and then there's no respect. There used to be respect for the church. Used to be respect for the house of God. There used to be respect for the things of God. There used to be, as a matter of fact, you kids don't understand this, but there used to be a thing called Blue Sunday here. Any of you young people, you know what Blue Sunday was? Any of you guys know? Ever hear of it? You know? You know? Boys, you know it? You guys know? Blue Sunday in this nation used to, when I was growing up, the stores was not allowed to open on Sunday. You could not even sell gas on Sunday. If you didn't have any gas Saturday night, this is how you got along. Wherever you went, you walked. Because there was no gas stations open. There was no stores open. Somebody said, well, that's crazy. No, the nation honored God. And you know what? Then we come up with this great idea, our politicians did. We're going to have this thing called a convenience store. We're going to open nothing up. Now, we're not ever going, listen, we're never going to get here where factories are open on Sundays. We're never going to get here where we're going to have restaurants open on Sundays. We're never going to get where we're going to sell, have grocery stores. All we're going to do is have a convenience store. And the convenience store is just going to be convenient. If you run out of gas, you can go this one type of store and pick up gas on Sunday. Nobody else, we're not going to do anything else in disrespect to the Lord's Day. And by the way, it wasn't on the Sabbath either, on Saturday. It was on Sunday. Because this nation understood the resurrection of Christ. Now get this, and I'll close. And so what happened was, little by little, as this nation began to forget, it lost restraint and it quit having any respect. Now Sunday, now listen to me. Those of us who are Christians, it's hard to let our kids and grandkids participate in ball games. Because Wednesday night means nothing. And Sundays don't mean much. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. I love this nation. But when we lose the memory and remembrance of the history of this nation, we begin to lose the reality of who God really is. And what happens is we begin to lose the restraint of the people. Because when you don't fear God, you do anything in the world. People will kill you for a pair of tennis shoes. They'll kill you and not bat an eye. Don't bother you at all. And when we begin to lose restraint, we have no respect for no one or nothing. And it means nothing. And these colleges are being pushed, brainwashed, and these kids are thinking that the country is their enemy. And they're doing everything within their power to destroy the greatness of America. God help us to remember and not forget the goodness of God. And let me say this, and we'll sing. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. You can play that game and floating down the river is okay. But one of these days you're going to fall off the falls. And when you close your eyes in death, you better hope you have Christ. Because it's going to be devastating if you don't. Today, if you hear his voice, you ought to come. If you're not saved this morning, you ought to come. God has allowed you to be born and sitting and listening to a place where you could be saved. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Would you come as we give song, Brother Porter?